Good day, and welcome to the CTT first quarter results conference call. Today's call is being recorded. With us today, we have Francisco Laskerda, CEO, and André Costa, CFO. I will now pass the call over to the speakers. Please go ahead.
Thank you. Good morning, you all. Of course, we also have with us our IR team, Peter and Raquel, that you know well. I will go through the presentation, and so I will go immediately to slide four. I think the title, in fact, summarizes what it is. We have a very good growth in revenues in this quarter, and the EBITDA also went strongly up. We have reported revenues going up 8%, and operating costs also going up, but much less. So the jaws continue to play in the right direction. The recurring EBITDA at 42 million euros means a growth of 26%. The net profit, in terms of reported, it was 22 million, meaning 23% up in the recurring, more than that. And in the operating cash flow, the free cash flow, it went down for specific reasons that we will detail later on, but nevertheless, nothing to do with the underlying level of cash generation and controlled CapEx that we have. In terms of addressed mail volumes, the decline was of only 1.6%, and the unaddressed mail of 2.4%. Parcels went up in volumes, and the savings flows went up strongly. Of course, all of you know that we have here two main issues that affected positively and in a very strong way our results this quarter. One was all the things connected with the mail volume evolution. And as you remember, first quarter last year, we had a worse than anticipated decline for specific reasons that we then explained. Now we are comparing with that quarter, so the basis already explained part of the reason why the evolution is this one. And on top of that, because of the timing of the price increase, we have the same sort of upfront selling for a week or two. That means one point or two in terms of volume decline. And so we have explanations here. That means that exactly for the same reasons that one year ago we told everyone, don't take conclusions based only on the first quarter, we say the same this year. Our guidance still applies. We believe that the trend of declining will be better than last year, but not as better as it seems in the first quarter. And the second item is connected with the financial services and the month of January. As you also know, the government decided to decrease the interest rate of the savings products, the public debt savings products, because they were too high and they had to be aligned with the market. And now they are competitive, especially because after that decrease of interest rates, the general interest rates of the market went down. But what happened was that a lot of people anticipated their savings to the month of January. And so we have an inflow in January that we have never had a month like that. And of course, the following months are not at the same rhythm. And so we believe that in a yearly term, we will do more or less what we anticipated, but it was strongly anticipated in the first month of the year. These two issues explain an important part of what happened in the revenue line. And they are, because of this, we don't see reason at this stage to change our guidance. So our general guidance in all lines is the same, and that's why we didn't publish it with the presentation, because what we usually do is we just put it when we change. When it's the same, we don't put it up. Going to page 5, and now going a little more deeply into the different areas, I ask André to go on these pages.
Good morning. Basically, if you read this page, we have an 8.4% growth in the revenues, which in Express and Parcel was just 2.1%, because we had the process of the restructuring that we are doing in Spain, which, if you recall, we mentioned last year that we anticipated or we accelerated the closing of some franchises, which means for the beginning of this year, and probably even in the second quarter, that we had to assume the cost of delivering in the areas that they went out, but the recovery of the revenues in that area is slower because we need to conquer again the clients that were with them when we closed them. So in Express and Parcels, the 2.1 growth is quite different in Portugal and Spain. We'll see in a few slides ahead. And it's basically still the effect of the restructuring in Spain. Regarding financial services, we had a growth of 50%. As we said, we expect to see financial services continue to grow, but not at a level like this. And as Francisco explained, we see on the right side of this page that 8.2 million euros came from financial services growth, but a lot from, I wouldn't say pre-sale, but the anticipation of the placement of savings that we expect to recover in the future, to start having again relevant volumes, but not as we had in the first month of the year, which was anticipating the decline of the remuneration that the public debt pays to the retail. Regarding mail, we had a growth of 4.6%, which part was because we had, as you know, a price increase happening in the beginning of the year, which meant two things. First of all, the price increase more than compensated the volume decline, which was 1.6%, so it was quite lower. The price increase more than compensated the volume decline. Second of all, we had some, although with very few effect, but we had some anticipation of selling the prank mail, because people anticipated the buying them before the price increase, which happened in the 1st of March. And last but not least, and important to mention, because we'll see that in the revenues and in the cost, we had a change in the, due to the valuation or to the forex of the US dollar, we had a increased value of our international counterparties regarding the inbound and outbound mail, which meant that we had 2.5 million euros of extra revenue coming from DTS, which is the measure to measure the international flows from the accounts that we have alive. And in the cost side, we'll have more or less the same effect. So this is an effect coming from the change in the US dollar, or the valuation of the US dollar presently compared with first quarter 2014. So basically, we have a very good quarter in terms of revenues coming from an exceptional sale of savings in the public debt, and also from a performance in the mail driven by price increase that compensated more than compensated the volume decline and the forex exchange valuation. Regarding the cost, next page. First thing to mention, and if we are talking about the forex, it has similar impact on the cost, because we have in our accounts, if you look at our balance sheet, we have in the debtors and in the creditors, we have the foreign counterparties, which with the valuation, it increases the value that we have to pay and the value that we have to receive, and more or less they have the same impact during this period, which made our cost going up to around 2.5 million coming from this, and also coming from an increase in the security measures that we have in our network regarding the flows of money. basically, not only because it was a decision that we took last year to increase the collection of money by security companies in our network, and going ahead in the increase in financial services, and now with the Postal Bank, it makes even more sense to have these measures in place and more decisively in a bigger part of our network. Regarding the other non-recurring costs, if we look at each of the parts of recurring costs, in staff costs we had an increase of 6.8%, basically driven by, first of all, if you recall last year we had the reintroduction of variable payments, which was only done at the end of the year, and basically was done taking the advantage of having the extraordinary items that we achieved at year-end with the renegotiation of our healthcare plan. This year we consider that is a structural measure in terms of staff management, and it's something that we are already provisioning in order to reach the year-end with the amount that we consider that should be paid. Regarding second point, you recall that we, in the negotiation of the company's agreement with unions, we increased salaries by 2%, and we mentioned that we negotiated some of the items inside of company agreement will have a positive impact that will compensate mostly the increase in salaries, but it will not happen immediately. It will happen along the next 2 years. So we will have, with the renegotiation of the company agreement, almost non-impact from the salary increase, but will only be achieved in the second half of next year. So during the during 2015, we'll have the full impact of salary increase without any benefit. We'll start having benefits in the second half of the year, but the full benefit of the new company agreement will only happen in the second half of 2016. But to compensate the salary increase, we have a relevant benefit, which is the renegotiation of the healthcare plan, which reduced our current costs. But in the first quarter, it only reduced more or less half what can happen in the second quarter. Why? We had some of the measures of the renegotiation of the healthcare plan that had retroactive effect. It was considered from the 1st of January, but half of them were not considered from January 1st, only beginning on April 1st, because we need to change the process of managing the healthcare plan, and we couldn't do it with effects of to 1 of January. So we have the salary increase with the effects of 1 of January. We have part of the healthcare negotiation effect reflected from 1st of January, but the second part, which is the co-payments by workers, it will only happen in beginning of 1st of April, so it will have effect on the second quarter of the year. You will see the effect of this. So we believe that the salary cost, as we said, will continue to increase, but will increase at a lower pace than it happened in the first quarter because of these reasons that I explained. Regarding the external supplies, we have basically the effect of some extraordinary costs in external supplies, basically coming from the project of putting up the Postal Bank, taking the support of some consultants, which means that we have a relevant value of 2 million euros of non-recurring costs. The other point, it's the 2.5 million from the Forex impact and the extra security measures, but along the year this will disappear because I don't believe that the Forex will continue to have the same impact, although it depends on the evolution of mainly the US dollar. If we go to the EBITDA, if we have costs growing at 5.6% and revenues growing at 8.4%, we have a relevant growth on the EBITDA of the company. We see here all the effects put together. Basically, financial services, since we have a cost base that is more or less fixed, it grows 84% in terms of EBITDA. What grew in financial services when we sell more? It's basically the incentives that we pay to staff, which also increase the staff cost. But the other costs that we have in the network are increased, but they are marginally compared with the revenues that we have. And you need to recall that in financial services, the product area that has a bigger EBITDA margin, it's the savings. So with the so strong performance in savings in the first quarter, we have the EBITDA margin of financial services growing a lot. It's not something that is sustainable because we hope to have a more balanced evolution of all the product lines inside of financial services. Express and parcels, due to the situation I explained, the restructuring in Spain and the closing of the franchises at the year end, as I explained, what we are doing or what we are now facing is that we lost revenues coming from those franchises, and we now need throughout our own net, our own areas that we explore to recover these revenues and start having the positive impact. Regarding the EBITDA and Express and Parcel, is still important to mention, and we'll speak in a few slides. Regarding the integration of the networks, in the first quarter we didn't have yet impacts because it was started in the first quarter already apart, still a small part of the whole, and it was only started in the middle of the first quarter, so the impact in terms of cost saving is not yet quite visible. And as you know, during this process, we have some overlay of cost during the adjustment process of this integration. Regarding the mail, we have the strong growth in EBITDA. Comes apart from the Forex impact, it comes from the performance that we have better in terms of pricing growth compared with the volume decline that we've spoken, and also some effect of the price mix, which is it has two effects, basically. We have a positive effect coming from mail with more value added being sold, but we also have the negative impact that we have a growth in direct mail, which is a lower value mail, so it's a mixed effect during the first quarter. In page 8, regarding cash flow, and to talk about cash flow, it's very important just to mention two big issues, or two big items that are here in the right side of the presentation. We had a strong investment in the last quarter of last year. If you recall, or if you go and read the figures of third quarter and fourth quarter last year, we had a big increase in investment in the last quarter last year. And basically they were done during November, December with a 45 to 60 day payment. We only spent the money in the beginning of the year. So the cash capex was happening in the first quarter. And if you recall, the cash flow performance of December 2014 was the double. So it was very strong because we were investing but not spending yet the money. In the first quarter we have the opposite effect on the capex payments. Regarding operational activities, basically we had a very strong month of March in the mail business, and the strong month of March in the mail business for the effect of the volumes and from the effect of the price increase that happened in the 1st of March meant that we had a lot of sales out without having the inflows because clients pay at more or less 45 days, as you recall, it's our goal in terms of payment days, so or receivable days. So it was basically this effect. Regarding, if you look and if you go to page 9, you see that our cash position continues to increase. So we continue to accumulate more cash. The performance of the company is very strong. Looking at the balance sheet, I would only would like to highlight that the healthcare benefits, although they continue to have similar values that we saw in the past in our accounts, in December 2014 and March 2015 that you see here, we have that the value is more or less the same that we had in the past with a huge difference. It's because this value is the same because we cut a relevant part or we cut an important part of the cost of this healthcare plan going forward. But since we reduced the discount rate from 4% to 2.5%, the impact of the present value stayed more or less the same, but we are talking about in the future an important reduction in the cash cost coming from the employee benefits, so basically the healthcare plan that we have in the company. Regarding the balance sheet, just to recall, and I believe you remember that the reduction in cash and cash equivalents and financial services payables is because the year end and the end of first quarter and the first half are always the periods of the year where we have more money being paid in pensions and more taxes being paid, and so the impact of that it's always seen in the end of the year and in the end of first half, and the other quarters are more normal regarding our normal position in the balance sheet. I will pass again to Francisco to give highlight the relevant things that we did in this quarter.
So going to slide 10, we have several issues that we added here that are in the same line of pursuing the strategy and basically leveraging the scalability of assets and grow the business. And we are, I believe, proving that we are being able to deliver growth. In terms of mail, and which have the network of post offices, we signed an agreement with the government on January to install 300 citizens bureau areas in 2 years. This is something that is up and running. It's developing. We also, just to remind, because it was this year, the new company agreement and the social works regulation or the healthcare plan, which has the big impact that we already commented in the year-end accounts. And we have increased in prices with effect of the 1st of March, and the average price increase is around 4% based on the different parts of increase that we have. For the Express and Parcels, we are going in a very decisive way integrating the Express and Parcels and mail distribution. At the first stage that we have decided to do, it will be ready by the third quarter of this year. And we are finding already some possible other opportunities to develop it further, but we'll talk about that later on. And in terms of our Spanish operation, we are still working on it, and the effect, negative effects in the P&L still there. The financial services, of course, we have this issue of the saving certificates in the first month, and in the postal bank, we are also pursuing the project in a very speedy way and a detailed way, but I'll comment it in a moment. Altice has been authorized by competition authorities to close the deal, and we think that till this month, probably they will take responsibility over PT, and so the agreement we have will kick in starting on that. Page 11, just a little more detail. We can see on the bottom how the different types of mail evolves, and not only we see a decline of only 1.3% in transactional, which is affected by some of those reasons. So again, please wait for one or two more quarters to see the trend. We keep our belief in terms of guidance. But a very positive sign is the decrease in advertising, which is only 2.3%. Of course, if we think about what we have done this quarter, we think about a few specific campaigns that were done and they increased the number. But the rationale behind it is that in fact companies are spending money again on these type of things. And this is what we were waiting for in terms of, I think, the joint effect of two things. One, the economy in general, and the second, the different way that we are approaching this product and the efforts that we have been made for a year now in pushing it in a different way. In terms of the recurring operating costs, it went up by 6%, which is less than the growth in revenues.
And so the recurring EBITDA went up by 10% to €25 million, with a margin, an EBITDA margin of around 18%. The page 12, the Express and Parcels, in Spain the revenues were flat still. We had again at the end of the year several franchisees that decided to close and take directly the areas, and that is the effect that is here in this first quarter. It takes time always to ramp up the sales when we do this. In Portugal we saw double-digit growth in terms of volumes, but only the effect in revenues is going up 4%. This has to do again with the mix more than anything. The growth is coming from e-commerce driven parcels, and as you know those have lower prices because of weight and because of speed. But this is something that we have been doing, saying and explaining for several quarters or even years. The costs went up by 4%, in this case more than the revenues. It has to do with Spain basically, and that issue of taking ownership of some regions. The costs come always, and the revenues ramp up when we take directly it. And so the recurring EBITDA this quarter is worse than the previous quarter, the same quarter last year. Page 13, in terms of financial services, we have, of course, a very strong growth in savings and insurance, but we can see figures also in terms of payments and transfers that are continuing to decline, but at levels that we have been able to manage and to keep the trend in a way that the basket as a whole is producing in bigger positive impact for us. And the recurring EBITDA was very strong because of that. And on the bottom of the page, I highlight the 2.6% increase in money orders and transfers in terms of volumes, which is a sign that we are again growing the business in this area. And in page 14, the important project of the Postal Bank, just to go through the main things that we are doing. So we already have decided the packet of branches that we will transform to incorporate the banking capacity. We have defined already the first ones and the second ones, and we have defined the layouts. We have the developed the brand, the image, all that that's prepared. All the processes and the controls and detailed documentation of it is well underway. We initiated already the training program for the people in the front office that are CTT employees that we are training because of that. And again, the organization means that the ones that are trained first are the ones that will open first as banks. And we have put €20 million in the company that will be the Post Bank in the share capital to ensure the required investments are met. We committed already, especially in the IT, an important part of what we plan to invest. 40%, as we said, that of total investment plan for the Postal Bank is already committed. And we are working on the business plan. We are working in hire people to the specifically banking functions at the top level and mid-level, and even on the teams of things like marketing product design, risk management, the several areas of risk management and the areas that are specific of banks. And one second. No, percebo a palavra. And so we are with a strong pace. going well with the project. We believe that we will be able to keep the deadline of launching until year-end. Of course, not everything is under our control. We are in strong interaction with the regulator also. We have development of IT and all that, so it's a complex and with different areas, different fronts project. But with the information now, we believe we could continue to have our target of opening until year-end. And that's what we have to tell you up front about our results. I just highlight that we decided to do Investor Day, or a Capital Markets Day, as you prefer. We thought that it would be important to have already specific things to present about the bank, and that's why we decided to do it in November, which is a time where we can be specific and open about our commitments to the bank and already see enough of the bank if you come to visit us. I'm not sure if with doors open, because November is mid of last quarter, it's not end of last quarter, but nevertheless with things that can be seen and felt, and we invite you to come and visit us. So we open for Q&A as usual, and please go ahead.
Thank you. If you would like to ask a question at this time, please press star 1 on your telephone keypad. Please ensure that the mute function on your telephone is switched off to allow your signal to reach our equipment. Again, if you would like to ask a question, please press star 1. We will pause for just a moment to allow everyone to signal. We will now take our first question from Felipe Leite from BPI. Please go ahead. Your line is now open.
Good morning, everyone. I have three questions, if I may. The first one on mail campaign. Can you quantify the impact on volumes, top line and working capital from the mentioned campaign directed to large customers? And if you expect the reversal in both top line and working capital during second quarter from these specific situations? The second one, on Express and Parcels OPEX, the increase seems to be a structural one, except for the areas in Spain that you mentioned are not intentionally expected to be directly served by CTT, but with the changes in franchises are currently being served by the company. Can you quantify what was the impact from this situation in first quarter OPEX? And the last one, on Postal Bank, you mentioned a fine-tuning on the initial business plan. Can you give us more color on that? It was a revision on the expected investment to be made in the project, the expected profitability of the project, or what were the changes made in the initial business plan? Thank you.
Thank you, Philippe, for the questions. In terms of the first one, if I understood correctly the question, you were asking for some more clarification of something that I said. I just mentioned in general that we are seeing more customers using the advertising mail in general, but not specific that affects too much the, it's not one-off, it's just the business that is developing in the right direction. In terms of the second and third, André?
Regarding Spain, we do not have the details in the cost of the restructuring of the franchisees. What we can say is that last year we took to the account the cost of the impairments of the franchisees that we closed. We had some minor ones still in the first quarter of this year, but basically they are very few. What we had in the first quarter of this year is that we need to assume the distribution on those areas and to build sometimes with short-term approach the operational platform to manage those areas, which some we are already franchising again, and other ones we'll assume as our own, but probably with a better and different cost structure. But in the moment that we need to assume, we put a short-term and not just a short-term approach to start covering that region, because one important point in our operation is to cover all the country. So when we close a franchisee, we need to assume in the short term that we'll need to increase the cost in that region in order to cope with the volume that we need to distribute over there. Regarding the Postbank, basically the revision of the business plan is not changing anything. It's putting in more detail the business plan already with the costs that we are facing, but more than the cost, with the market environment. We did the business plan for the decision. It was done more or less between August and October last year. Things have changed since now, so we need to update the business plan, and we are putting the business plan in more detail, taking into account what we are building up, but we do not have any relevant color to give regarding, we do not see increased costs, we do not see increased investments. Basically what we see is that, to give you an idea regarding the core banking system, we'll have less investments up front and more investments running, but at the end it will be less than we have put in our business plan, but will be compensated by other costs that probably are higher than we had. So no reason yet to give any different approach to the Postal Bank initiative. What we are doing, we are detailing how to go to the market, which will mean that we'll still do some updates in the business plan before opening, because market is evolving and we cannot take that the business plan that we built last year, it's still valid this year regarding some of the features, namely the evolution of the interest rates and the investment approach to the liquidity that we generate with the bank. So basically we are doing that, fine-tuning the model to present again to the Bank of Portugal to get clearance to open the door. But this will be done probably still one more time before opening in order to have everything ready. We need to have a live business plan, because market environment will be crucial to the approach that we take. And you know that the Portuguese market is evolving, and the at the European level also, with the evolution of interest rates, which is relevant for a bank. Thank you.
Thank you.
Next.
We will now take our next question from Chris Cole from JP Morgan. Please go ahead. Your line is now open.
Good morning, everybody. I also have three questions. First of all, we look at financial services, and acknowledging that we don't fully understand how the revenue model works, you did make reference to expected growth, albeit at a much slower pace, rest of the year. Does that mean with a much slower pace, we'd still expect to see year-on-year EBITDA growth for savings and insurance Q2 through Q4? And then the second question, turning to Express and Parcel, you talked about having some ideas beyond the current integration efforts. I was wondering if you could expand upon that, or if it's too soon to discuss. And then lastly, with mail, lots of moving parts in terms of easier comp, better price mix, and these campaigns. Knowing what you do now, if you compare the underlying trends to the fourth quarter, I think where the exit rate was 4.5% decline, you get a sense that the trend is pretty stable or incrementally better or worse? Thank you.
Thank you. I will start by the second one, which the answer is simple. We have different offers to our customers, which means different speed and different time deliveries. We started by the integration with the ones that were easy to do that. Now that we are getting experience, we believe that we can go a little more ahead in the type of product that we can integrate. But it's just that. It's nothing at this stage much more than this. We will always have to have a speed, specific, dedicated premium network and the basic one. The distribution of products between one and the other is something that we are fine-tuning and learning with experience.
Regarding the other point, regarding financial service and growth expected, As we said since the beginning, we have give a guidance to growth for this year, and growth in CTT comes from our two growth levers, which is financial services and express and parcels. We have always the goal to have both growth levers growing. As we said, we do not expect financial services to grow at the same pace as it grew last year. If we said that, it's even more important to say we don't expect to grow as it grew in the first quarter, but we are expecting to have this growth lever contributing to the growth. And as Francisco said, we are already seeing some of the other product lines contributing for this growth, and namely credit is starting to grow. It's still very small in the overall business, but it's starting to become more and more a relevant point for the future. And if you recall, we have some initiatives of launching new products even before the launching of the bank in our network that can drive also some growth in this business. Last but not least, from the partnership with Portugal Telecom, it will cover all the product line, all the business areas of CTT. So the framework agreement that we can reach with Portugal Telecom / Altice can also boost the growth in our growth business and also in the mail business. I would just mention, when we see the mail revenues, that we have a relevant growth in the other, which is the usage of our retail network to provide services for financial services, but to provide services to other businesses. So the retail network, the scalability of the retail network, it's a source of growth for the mail business, and it's a relevant point to mention that in the future will contribute. Regarding mail evolution, that was the last question. We are seeing the Portuguese economy performing well. We are seeing that as you listened from us since the beginning, will contribute to lower decline in volumes. The decline in coming from digitalization, from electronic substitution, we said that we expected between 3% and 5%. So having a volume decline of 1.6, it's below this. So we do not expect this will, the economic growth will start having growth in mail that compensates the electronic substitution. Yet, we are not seeing yet. Although during quarters, as you know, as we said since the beginning, the evolution or the performance in one quarter cannot be taken as an indication for the year. What we can say, and I believe it was your question, having two quarters with volume decline lower than the ones that we had previously, is that we are going in the right direction. Yes, we expect that we are going in the right direction, and potentially we are going faster, but still too soon to say about the speed of the decline or the adjustment to the mail evolution.
Okay, thank you.
We will now take our next question from Andy Jones from RBC. Please go ahead. Your line is now open.
Good morning, all. Thanks for taking the question. I also have three questions. Firstly, on financial services, I was just wondering if you could make any comments about what the kind of run rate of sales has been in the 3.5 months since the reduction in interest rate. I mean, is the quarter-end trade payables to financial services being down 17% a kind of a good benchmark for what might happen towards the kind of the rate of placements there? My second question is on parcel EBITDA in Portugal. What happened there during the quarter? I kind of just trying to work out what the balance of the decline overall was versus Spain. And finally, the wage agreement that you have, you mentioned it's a two-year agreement, or the company agreement is a two-year agreement. Is there any wage increase in there agreed for 2016, or is it just 2% for 2015 and then 0% in 2016? Thank you.
Thank you. Starting by the last one, we have no obligation under the agreement to increase wages more than what we have done. So everything that we will discuss in the future will be open discussion and not pre-agreed or pre-committed. For the other two, Andre?
Regarding financial services, in the month of February we had the opposite impact. If we have an overshooting in January, we have an undershooting in February. In March, we're still recovering, but the conditions or the pricing that interest rate that public debt products pays for savings for the retail continues to be quite higher than other competitive products. What we saw in the economy during February and March, due to this adjustment in the returns that the public debt pays to the retail, banks also adjusted the returns that they pay for term deposits, so we expect to start having again relevant flows coming to savings, probably less than we had last year, basically in the next quarters, because we had an overshooting effect in the first quarter, people probably anticipating the investment in savings in public debt because the good conditions that were there. But apart from that overshooting, we continue to expect to be a star product in the saving environment in Portugal, because it's, in terms of condition, it's a very competitive product, and we still bet to be a performing business for the future. Regarding the parcels EBITDA, in Portugal, just to give you the idea, as you recall, during this integration process, we also have some costs that are incurred to do the integration, but we'll start seeing the effect on the next quarter. So regarding the EBITDA of the parcel business, what we can say regarding Portugal is that the positive effect that we expect from the integration will start to be seen in the second quarter, but in the third quarter will be more relevant, and the last quarter probably will be full effect. We still do not know, because the integration process is always something demanding, but we expect to have it finished probably in September. If we have it in September, we'll have full effect in the last quarter of this year, and this will affect quite positively the Portuguese EBITDA of the business.
Okay, thank you. And can I just ask one quick follow-up? In Spain, in regard to the question that was asked earlier, when you mention you're replacing franchisees with your own and you have to maintain geographic coverage, why is your solution, which is higher cost in the short term, necessarily lower cost in the long term? You know, what kind of operationally changes as that settles down? Thank you.
We have already last year, based on a study that we did of all areas in Spain that detailed in a detailed grid, define what are different clusters of those regions, and we have the clusters areas that we think we should be there and develop ourselves the business, and the others that are in number, in area, the majority, but in business, the minority, the ones that we don't want to do it directly. And the ones that we don't want to do it directly, sometimes we have to take a hit, basically because the current franchisee is not in good shape and we have to solve the solution because we cannot finance them and then doing the write-off in the end. We increase the cost directly, and then as soon as we can, we pass it again to someone else. You can ask, why is it profitable for someone else and it's not profitable to you? Basically because someone else has other business in the region. And so they add this activity to other activities, and so they have a basis of fixed costs that enable them to spread out the thing. We don't. And in the areas that we want to directly do, we are developing the market and working with the customers. Some of those areas were franchised and we are taking them now, and we have a ramp-up period of the sales activity. So these are the underlying trends that explain this.
Okay, and in which case, can I ask why then that you replace it with your own operations in the short term? Why do you not just replace it with another franchisee and kind of incur the poor performing franchisee in the short term?
Because sometimes we cannot meet the two. It's an issue of this deep restructuring that we have been, this stage that we have been going through, and also connected with the difficulties in the Spanish economy up to more or less a year ago, and so the consequences of that have a lag in terms of the capacities of some of the SMEs that in fact are these franchisees that work with us.
Okay, thank you very much for the color.
We will now take our next question from David Kirsten from Jefferies. Please go ahead, sir. Your line is now open.
Good morning, gentlemen. Three questions, please. First of all, can you comment on the relationship between the strong performance in financial services in the first quarter and your accrual for performance-based pay? Would you expect that to go down when your growth rate in financial services normalizes in the remainder of the year? Second question is on the postal bank. I think startup costs were still relatively limited in the first quarter. What is a good estimate for startup costs this year? And also with regard to the CapEx, I think you were guided for CapEx of 30 million in your full year presentation, and you now said you made a 20 million capital injection in the postal bank. Are you still expecting 30 million in CapEx? And finally, my third question, can you elaborate a little bit on the benefits, the main benefits in the company agreement that you expect to come in the second half of this year that would compensate for your wage increase? Thank you.
Thank you for the questions. On the first one, we have at top management level, we have two incentives, one annual and the other for the 3 periods of the term that we are elected for. So the minimum time frame in terms of measurement is the same year as the shareholder fee. So the first quarter doesn't have in itself any specific impact, except that is the first quarter, and when you have the full year results, those will be inside them. And the results that we have, the KPIs that we have, as you now know from it was published on the reports that we already did, are connected with EBITDA, TRS, and EBITDA margin. And those will be measured on a yearly basis, and some of them compare with peers, others in absolute evolution compare with the budget.
Regarding the postal bank, OPEX, we already had in the first quarter relevant OPEX costs in the postal bank. We'll continue to have, I wouldn't say higher, we'll have the same nature of OPEX costs, basically related with the consultants in some cost, startup costs that we need to have for the postal bank. We do not expect them to increase a lot, but we expect them to continue to increase somewhat, but in the first quarter, just to once again give a highlight, we had already relevant for us costs, as we knew around of the 2 million, a big part was related with the postal bank of the non-recurrent costs. Regarding the CapEx, potentially we will not reach the 30 million CapEx that we had considered for the year. We already put 20 million in the company that we expect from CapEx and OPEX needs. Basically, as I said just some moments ago, in our, to give you an example, in the hiring or with the agreement with the CBS core banking system, Mises and Deloitte, the agreement with them, the cost of the initial CapEx is lower than we had in our business plan, and the CapEx needs for the next year of evolution and new releases of the system will be higher. So overall, potentially it's more or less the same, or potentially we have some savings, but in the short term we have lower. But basically we have 20 million put in the bank. From the 20 million, the part that was spent, it's quite low up until now, but the 20 million we expect will support the CapEx and OPEX needs for the bank potentially until its opening. So. Regarding bonus accrual in financial services, we had an increase in the payments of our front office or retail network regarding the good performance in financial services, but it's not, we have put in the accounts because we need to pay them because it's the agreement. If they sell more, they will receive more. If they sell less, potentially they don't receive, because if they don't meet the objective, they don't receive it. It's a binary incentive. We have objectives that we set. If they reach the objectives, they received. And in the first month of this year, where we had a campaign, they more than met the objective, so they received the relevant incentive, but it's related with the revenues that are generated with, as you know, very, very strong EBITDA, because savings, as I said before, it's the most profitable product inside of the financial services business.
And when are these bonuses being paid in the quarter? When are these bonuses being paid to the financial services staff?
Part were already paid and part will be paid yet in the near future, because we normally pay, we do the evaluation or we do the accounting of the accomplishment in the following month, and we pay in the following month. So the ones of January were already paid. The ones of February were not paid, and the ones of March were not paid yet. But that is the payment. They are accounted when they are incurred or when they are... They are specialized in the month where they are related to. So all the costs regarding incentives and bonuses for the strong performance of financial services in the first quarter are in the account.
Okay.
Thank you. We will now take our next question from Nuno Estacio from Bessi. Please go ahead. Your line is now open.
Hi, good morning. Just, I'm sorry to insist, but on the financial services, second quarter last year you had in savings and insurance roughly 8 million euros of revenues in that area. Considering that the net inflows of the treasury certificate are going to come down, can this value be maintained due to what you receive on your stock of placements that you have done in the past, or it should go down? That would be my first point. And the second one, if you, Andre, could explain us a little bit more on the cost side. So excluding the Forex, we would have 3.7 million euros of cost increase versus last year. You mentioned then also that there is an impact of foreign postal operators of 1.7 million, which I think is independent from the Forex effects. If you could just explain us exactly what this is and if there is a compensation of that in terms on the revenue side. Finally, on the costs, if the 0.5 million euro that you have for the transport of values is something that we should consider for the coming quarters, as this is new routes or connection with the branches that you have changed. Thank you.
Regarding financial services, we do not comment the performance on following quarters, so what you said, and it's true, and I can comment, is that the stock that we sold last year will have positive impact on the fees that we receive from the stock. So the selling in the first month will not have, because it will only have impact on the following year. But the 5 billion that we sold last year, it will have certainly impact on the fees that we receive from the stock. The sum of the stock and the sum of the fees that we receive from selling, I will not comment the performance of the following month, since we cannot do it. Regarding the costs with the cost performance namely in external supplies and coming from our international counterparties. Basically, we are having more and more inflows and outflows of mail, but more and more inflows and outflows, but inflows also of parcels. And parcels are more expensive regarding mail compared with mail with our counterparty. So we had basically two main effects. One of all, it's the mix, we have more mail or parcel items, so we have higher cost with international outbound mail that goes to other countries. Second of all, since we are having more and more flows of international mail speed mail, in express, or you call it priority mail, we have higher costs because we need to pay the cost of priority mail, which is the, what we call here in Portugal Correio Azul, but it's more or less international called Express Mail, which is the priority mail. If clients are sending more priority mail, we need to pay also more, but we receive more. One of the things you see in revenues is the effect of the mix, that we have an increase in the registered mail. It has impact in the part of Portugal, and in the part of the international flows, it has the, also an important impact in the cost. Okay?
Sorry, but, Andre, but in the international flows, that is in the normal transactional mail and the use of parcels and all that, or is it in others, or
in the
revenues of mail?
It's the cost of mail. When we sell mail internationally, we receive from the customer, but then we have to pay a part of it to the international operator that delivers it. That's the general rule. And so as we are seeing some growth there, we are seeing some growth on the cost part also.
Okay, but the international part in the revenues of mail, it's spread, no? Between the transactional, the use of parcels.
Yes, but basically they are in registered mail because we have priority mail being more sent, but they are transactional, parcels in the universal service, parcels outside in the express and parcel business, and also some other types of mail. So it's spread all over, but basically it's quite related with having more transactions in the economy, coming from mail, specific mail, and coming a lot from more parcels going out and coming in to Portugal.
Okay. Thank you.
The e-commerce effect.
Thank you. We will now take our next question from Arthur Amaro from CAXA BI. Please go ahead.
Hello, good morning. I have two questions for you. The first one is regarding the express and parcel segment. If it's possible to give us some geographic breakdown of the EBITDA, I'm telling this due to the ongoing restructuring process of the Spanish operation. And the second question is regarding the Altice agreement. We know that the European Commission authorized the deal regarding the PT project and Altice. So I would like to understand, or if it's possible to assume, that the 15 million upfront commission will be received in the second half of the year. That's it. Thank you.
First of all, going to the second question, we expect, since they will take control during May, that probably will receive even in the first half of the year the 50 million euros, because it's the agreement that we have when they take control of Portugal Telecom, we will receive the 15 million euros. To give a clear explanation, the 15 million euros will not be accounted in only one shot. It will be accounting during 18 months, because we signed the agreement and the 15 million euros is to give them the exclusivity of negotiation up to 18 months of the period. So we will negotiate with them an agreement, the framework agreement, and we will account the 15 million euros along the 18 months after receiving the 15 million euros, which is more or less we will have this year around 6 million euros effect and the remaining in the following year. Regarding the other 15 million euros, we expect to reach the framework agreement sooner than later. It depends on the willingness of both parties, so I will not give a time frame for that. But we still expect this year potentially to have closed the framework agreement and to receive the second 15 million euros, which we will account because we expect to reach a five-year agreement for a five-year period if we reach the five-year agreement. But this is too soon to talk about this, just to give an explanation about what we have without this. Regarding the first question, we do not do the split of the EBITDA between Portugal and Spain. We see it as an overall operation. We even have some flows between both companies, which would be difficult to do the disaggregation because, as we explained in the past, we have some clients in Spain, like Zara, which we deliver a big part in Portugal. And we have clients in Portugal, which we also cover the Spanish part. and the price that we do to these clients, normally it's a bundled price for Iberia, which has impact, positive impact in Portugal in some cases and negative in Spain, and in other cases it has positive effect in Spain and negative effect in Portugal. So looking at both geographies in separate, sometimes it's difficult to have the clear picture about the contribution of each of the geographies.
Okay, thank you for your answer.
As a reminder, if you would like to ask a question today, please press star 1 on your telephone keypad. We will now take our next question from Andy Jones from RBC. Please go ahead.
Good morning, all. Sorry for the follow-up questions. I just had two, please, if I could. Firstly, on operating cash flow, just on the adjusted basis, your EBITDA grew 8 million year-on-year on top of 32. So that kind of implies there's about an 18 million working capital outflow. Was that all attributable to the specific campaigns by the larger customers? And, you know, should that continue, or should we just expect that to actually, you know, go away for Q2? And the second question is with reference to the LTIP payment, if you receive the second 15 million in 2015, will that also be accounted in revenue for part of 2015 at least, but just amortized over 5 years rather than 18 months? Thank you.
Going first for to the second question regarding LTIP, if we have only the first, if we only receive the first 15 million euros, it will be accounted 6 million this year and the remaining probably next year. If we reach the agreement, the 30 million euros, that will be the overall amount that we receive, will be probably accounted for 5 years if it is a 5-year agreement. If it is a 3-year agreement, it will be accounted for 3 years. If it is more than that, it will be accounted for that period. So we normally accounted for the period of the agreement, which was the change that we did, if you recall, last year with the agreement of with ZLM. That we had accounted the 3 million and then we corrected it because we thought it would make sense to put it along the period of the agreement instead of putting everything up front, because we believe it's better to be accounted like that. It gives more stability to the inflows and cash flows of the company, or the cash flows or the accounting of the company. Regarding the cash flow, we didn't have any impact of campaigns in effect of the cash flow. What we have is that in March it was a very strong month in mail. So what it meant is that we had a lot of sales in March which were not yet collected. So we had the cost of delivering those extra mail, and we didn't, because we pay a big part of the cost is staff cost, which we pay when they are incurred, namely with third parties if we need to hire short-term employees, and we didn't receive yet the inflows. It's basically that. Last year, if you recall this, we had the opposite effect. We had a very weak first quarter, so we didn't have so much money still yet to be received. It's not cost of campaign. It's not related with specific campaign. It's because we had clients doing advertising in March and clients doing more transactional mail in March. So the effect it was, we had a lot of money from our receivables yet to be collected.
It's normal working capital evolution,
yes,
when the flows of business also go.
Yes. So it comes back in Q2 then, just to confirm, or you should expect it to.
Yes. Or if the performance of mail continues to be strong, can be also have an impact on the end of the quarter. But the money in the first quarter, it's not less than in the quarter. At the closing of first quarter, it's less than in the closing of the previous quarter because of the strong performance. It's working capital effect, and it's not a change in our working capital management. It's being very effective, but when we sell more, we have more money out of the company until we collect it.
Yep, understood. And sorry to just confirm on the LTIP amount, is that the full 30 million euro amount that would be amortized over 5 years or 3 years, or just the incremental 15 million? Thank you.
Yes, everything.
The full. So okay. The probability of having 6 million this year is very high one way or the other.
Yeah, okay. Thank you very much.
Thank you. We will now take our final question from Alex Patterson from Investec. Please go ahead.
Good morning. Thank you for taking my question. All I was asking is, could you provide any quantification for the degree of buying forward of stamps and pre-franked mail on products before the price increases, please?
More or less 1 million or somewhat less than 1 million. It was less than the effect of last year.
Great. Thank you very much.
As there are no further questions at this time, I would like to pass the call back to our speakers for any additional or closing remarks.
Thank you very much. Just for closing, thank you for attending, and thank you for your interest and continued interest in our talk and our performance. And we will see in the conferences and meetings in between, but not, if not before, in July for the second quarter results. Bye-bye.
Bye.
That will conclude today's conference call. Thank you for your participation, ladies and gentlemen. You may now disconnect.